tonight. Romans 15. Good to see all of you. Thank God you're here. It's a blessing to be in church on Wednesday, isn't it? Amen. I like church. Now, you loved ones are tired because you've been here every night. You ought to do this every night. 6, 8, 10 weeks in a row. By September, me and her are doing this. Amen. But I love it. Praise God. I wouldn't have it no other way. I told God the other day, I said, God, I love evangelism. I just do. I just flat love evangelism. I love the travel. I love the different people. I love the different churches, the different challenges, the different, what theme do I preach God? What principle do I preach God? What verse do I use, God? I mean, everyone's different. And so it creates a thirst in me. God salts my oats, if you want to call it that. And that's what evangelism does for me. It salts my oats. Amen. Makes me thirsty for more of it. I love preaching. You can tell that by how long I preach, right? I love preaching. I love to hear you preach. Good or bad, I could care. I love to hear you preach. And I love to do it myself. Amen. Romans 15. Would you stand with me, please? If you're able, stand with me. If not, stand in your heart. I want to read the first 6 verses again, if I may. And I want you to see another something here that we're trying to get our minds wrapped around as we study this thought here. We then that are strong. Now, if I'd stop right there, we could preach another week. Brother Don, I'm not real strong. You hang on tonight. I'm gonna help you with the message about that. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. See, all that we get from God Almighty is not for us necessarily. It's for everybody around us. Because there is a weak brother or sister someplace close enough that you can help. If you get in this book and do what he says. And not to please ourselves, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Written so we could gain knowledge. Written so we could acquire skill by practicing. I try and encourage young Jeff back there to read his Bible every day. You got to read it every day. You need to read it every day of your life. You need to read the Bible. And not just read it to say, I got my Bible reading done. You got to learn something. Get something out of it. Why? Because you're not going to take what you read with you. You're going to take what you learn with you. Now listen to what the Holy Ghost just said. You're not necessarily going to take what you read with you. Have you ever read the same chapter 3 times and still didn't know what you read? But have you learned anything? And all of a sudden it just rolls in that mind over and over and over. Stay with me now. That we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. And we illustrated that last night, did we not? That you may with one mind. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That includes 2 brothers. We don't agree on every jot and tittle, but the basics are the same for all of us. One mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you for this night. Thank you for getting this family in from India safely. Now, Lord, they are bodily tired. I pray you'll energize them just for a little bit so they can absorb the Word of God tonight. I pray for all of us that are here, that, Lord, you'd help all of us as we look at another man, as we look at another bit of learning from the Word of God, as we try to get something out of it, our Father, from the verses that we'll read tonight. I pray that, Lord, we won't all get the same learning. Now, I've got a point that I'm going to bring out, but Lord, each one of us in here could maybe learn something different from the text. And that's fine and dandy because none of us have ever learned enough. And the more we learn, the better off we're going to be, Lord, and we can apply the different facets of it, our Father, to our daily walk. Stick it down in our boots, Lord, and walk the sidewalks of the world. And Father, be a good Christian for you the rest of our days. Heavenly Father, help us tonight, I pray. Not only me, but Lord, I got brethren everywhere that are preaching. They got midweek services. I pray for their churches. I pray for their preachings. I pray, Father, you'll touch them and give them a great day. Lord in heaven, I do ask you to be with the McFadden family, Lord, as they've had that tragic accident. And Sister Fadden's at home with you now. And Lord, Brother Fadden's in the hospital. I'm asking you, my God, to raise him up, if it's your will. I'm asking you, Father, to be with his family and his kids, grands, Lord, as they've had this tragedy in their lives yesterday. I pray, God, that you'd strengthen the McFadden family tonight. The Lord, my preacher brethren need the power of God. So would you put it on us, Lord, we pray, in the name of Jesus tonight. Amen, my Father. Amen. You may be seated, family. I want you, if you will, please, to try to remember. Let's take a 2-minute review, all right, about our learning this week thus far. As we looked at God and Adam the other day, we watched old Adam over there, and we learned that he could trust, if you will, please, in the promises of God, and we learned that Abram could believe God because God's promises are always yea and amen to the glory of God. So we learned that we can trust God because of the promises in Abram. We looked at Joshua the other day, did we not? And in Joshua's life, we found out that sometimes the task is monumental. But we can overcome it. Greater is he that's in us than he's in the world. Joshua had a horrible task in front of him. He had a bunch of people going to the promised land that was going to rebel against God. And he knew it. And he just kept on, and he just kept on going and kept on doing. Last night, did we not see a centurion that changed his mind? He quit looking down at a criminal and looked up at the Christ. Changed his mind, probably in heaven tonight. Tonight we're going to another piece of Bible. We're going over to Exodus chapter 4. Now in Joshua's learning, we learned that the task is huge and large, but it can be handled with the power of God as we obey the Lord Jesus. Tonight I want to do a little flip on that, if I may, and not look at how big the task is, but what I want to look at is you and I just before the task, if I can. Let's learn about that tonight if we can. In Exodus chapter 4, you can just stay seated now. Listen to the Word of God as I read it to you. Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me." Did you ever think that? Have visitation or whatever, and you say, there ain't no sense in knocking on that door. I mean, look at all these bikes, and look at all this mess, and he ain't going to believe me. "Nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? He said, a rod. He said, cast it on the ground. He cast it on the ground. It became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. The Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. He put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thy hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. He said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it returned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, that if they'll not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they'll not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river, pour it on dry land, the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Now that's things. Lay down your rod, pick up a snake, grab up some water, it'll turn to blood. That's out here, right? Watch Moses in 10. Here's where me and you come in. that's all well and good, Lord. I can hear him now. That's all well and good, Lord. But here's what you don't know. Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent. Lord, that's all well and good. You can turn water into blood and you can turn rods into snakes. That's good. But what you don't understand, God, is this. I ain't got the ability to do what you're calling me to do. I'm not able. I'm not eloquent. You want me to go back there and say what? I don't talk good. I got this impediment, if you will, please. It was in his heart, not in his mouth. Neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. He must have been from Mississippi. Slow of speech and slow tongue. All right? And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, and who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. I want to bring you a thought, if I may, that our inabilities doesn't matter. Plain and simple. Our inabilities just don't matter. It don't make no difference whether you can talk or can't talk. One of the greatest testimonies in all the world is about a man named Dummy Brown. You ever heard of Dummy Brown? He was a man who couldn't say a word. Not a word. He was a dumb man. That's what can't talk means, dumb. Not stupid. Couldn't talk. He got saved by the grace of God. Somebody led him to Jesus down in the country. And he wanted to serve God, but he couldn't say a word. Not one word could he say. So he was praying and asking God what to do, and God gave him a deal. He went out to a crossroads on two dirt roads crossing out. He walked up on the bank, and he cleared off the bank, and he stuck a cross up there. And he'd stand there at that stop sign, and when a car would pull up, he'd point to himself and point to the cross and point to himself and point to the cross and point to them. And he won hundreds of people to Jesus Christ and never said a word. Point to the cross and point to them and point to himself. And he won them to God. It ain't our abilities that makes the ministry a success. Because many of us don't have that many abilities. Come on, be honest with yourself. All right, you say, preacher, you calling me? No, I ain't calling you nothing. I'm just trying to get you to understand something. Quit hiding behind what you think is an unusable life. Quit hiding behind that. It don't make no never mind what kind of impediment you might have, or a slowness you might have, or a poverty you might have, or a lack of education, or a lack of self-esteem, whatever you might have. Again, listen to me. You can be used to God if you want to be. Moses said to God, I'm not eloquent. He didn't have all the big words. Listen, we had a great man of God here the other day. Tuesday. In the fellowship, we had one of God's choicest servants in this building the other day. There was a bunch of them, but there was one special one here the other day. He always surprises me. Every place I go, it seems like Gerald Fielder shows up. I think he's tracking me. He come clean to Mississippi, drove up one day. What are you doing? I'm just trying to get you to understand something. Have you ever heard Brother Gerald preach? Woo, you talk about eloquent. Huh? Man. He's got postgraduate college stuff, and I sound like a kindergartner compared to him. He said, preacher, what are you saying? Moses is trying to convince God. You and I do that. Lord, you know I ain't able to do that. You know, Lord, I ain't got time for that, or I ain't got the money for that, or I ain't got the abilities for that. And we're trying to convince one who has called us to do something. And he already knowed what was wrong with us before he ever asked us to go do the job. He already knowed what was like, because who makes man's mouth? Who causes it? Well, brother, God, I just don't see real good at night. God said, that's why I made daylight. You don't have to see at night. You go home at dark. But during the day. Go do something during the day, God would say. Don't hide behind your inabilities. I want to look at this chapter for just a little bit, if I may. You know as well as I the story of it. God Almighty finds this 80-year-old man out yonder on the backside of nowhere, guarding a bunch of sheep, his paw-in-law's sheep. And he's out there in chapter 3, and I'll just paraphrase for sake of time. He's out there in chapter 3, sees a bush burning over yonder there, and he goes up and sees God. And God says, take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. And you and I got to understand something, my dear family. The Lord God understands everything about us before we ever understand everything about us. One of the things that you and I have a real problem with is we try to develop something that ain't there. Stay with me now. We try to develop something that ain't there, and we use it as a crutch. Now, we could maybe take what's going on in our lives and use it as some kind of a something other if you wanted to. I could possibly do that. I could say, listen, I'm just not able to do that. I had polio when I was a baby, and my legs are messed up, God, and I can't walk the streets of America because my legs get too tired too quickly, and I just can't go. And Lord, I'll do something else when God might call me to go to the street. I could do that. I got a legitimate thing. I had polio when I was 4, all messed up for a long, long time and all that kind of stuff. And I'm in post-polio syndrome now, have been now for almost 30 years, been in post-polio syndrome. And my nerves are shot. Every once in a while I just jerk like I got the palsy of some kind. I kick that poor woman to death at night. It's just awful how I do. It's just, boom, my old legs just jump out. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I could use that if I want God. I just ain't able. But God knew that. God brought me out of that polio. God healed me. I had the killer. I had the one that killed all the kids in the 50s. Here I stand tonight. 66 years later, here I stand tonight. Why? God. Amen, God. He said, preacher, what are you saying? I could use that if I was lazy enough to try. Moses over here now, stay with me, Moses is over here and he's trying to convince God of his inability to do what he's supposed to do. Look with me please, if you will, in verse 11 of chapter 3. Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I to do that? Who am I, God, to go back into Egypt and bring the children of Israel out? Now look at what God says to him in the next verse. He said, certainly I will be with thee. That eliminates Moses' inability. That scraps his excuse. What is scrapping our excuse? What's going to get rid of your and I's excuses while we tell God we can't do this and can't do that and can't go here and can't go there? What is it that God's going to use to eliminate our excuses? See, my dear family, with God we can do all things. With God, listen, with man it's impossible, but not with God. Now, we might have to time it differently than other somebodies. You know, there's some folks that can't go out on visitation in the evening, but they can go out on Saturday morning. There are those that could maybe do this, that, or the other, maybe in the evenings, and there are those who cannot do it in the evenings at all. There are those that could do it another time of the week. We don't have to have a specific visitation time. Because God's people are visitors every single day of their lives. I tried to tell you the other day that every one of us that are saved are called to serve the Lord God Almighty. Every one of us has something we can do for God. And the call on every child of God is to be the Christian that He made out of you when He saved you by the grace of God. And inside of every believer indwells the Holy Ghost of God, who is all power, all knowledge. Everything you need is in the Holy Ghost. And as the Holy Ghost guides and directs us, our biggest problem is we can't hear Him sometimes. He spoke to me today to call and take care of some business that I've been fretting about for a few days. And I want you to realize something right now. God worked it all out and everything was fine. And they found the stuff I needed and everything's great. And I'm going to get it in a few days. Praise the Lord. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm just trying to get you to understand something. Moses is trying to push his inabilities on God. And God doesn't have inabilities. He don't have any. There ain't nothing God can't do. He can do everything there is to do. He spoke the worlds into existence, did he not? I mean, how much could he else not do? Really? Man tries to create things out of this, out of the other, but man's never created something out of nothing. But God did. God did. God said, be there, and the light showed up. Imagine that. God bent down in the ground, swished around a bunch of dirt, stood this crazy looking thing up, stood up, the Joker had a neck way long like that big old tall looking thing. He said, Adam, what is that? He said, that's a giraffe, God, that's a giraffe. Ain't that what the book says? Moses named all the animals. God created that thing. Aardvarks, chihuahuas. Come on. God made all that stuff. Adam, what is that? He said, that's a half a dog. That ain't even a real dog. There's a dog over at the campground. That little rat's got legs about that long and no tail at all. And it's a full-sized dog, but it ain't got no legs on. I've never seen a dog like that. Crazy-looking thing. God did that. Nothing's too hard for God. The problem is, the hardest thing God has to do is get you and I to obey. Now, there ain't nothing too hard he can do, but he has trouble getting me and you to obey sometimes. And Moses is endeavoring to get out of it. Moses is endeavoring to lay aside what God wants you to do because he's got no confidence in himself. Some of our problem is we don't have enough confidence in ourselves. Some of us believe that we're not ever going to. But with God, we can, if it's His will. Sometimes when you and I act like Moses, my dear family, we forget two or three things. I'm going to give them to you, and we're going to go to the house. Number one, look in chapter 4 again, verse 1 through 5. Moses answered and said, behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is in thine hand? And he said, a rod. He said, cast it to the ground. He cast it on the ground. It became a serpent. Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thy hand, take it by the tail. He put forth his hand and caught it. It became a rod in his hand. Now, what is it that Moses is not remembering here? What is it that Moses is not thinking about? Let me give it to you. It's the power of God. Now listen to me closely. Moses, my dear family, is forgetting that there is power in God that has never even been used yet. You and I, my dear family, don't have to throw a rod down on the ground and pick up a serpent to prove God. We're walking proof of God just by being upright tonight. You and I have been delivered from this, that, and the other in our lives. You and I have been healed. You and I have been blessed. You and I have been provided for. You and I have a heart beating in our chest. You and I breathe, all right, in and out. Some of us can see better than others, but we can hear a little bit. Some of us walk. Some of us walk a little funny. I got one leg shorter than the other. I walk a little funny, okay? But, gang, listen to me. God Almighty has proved himself over and over and over again. We don't need the firmament to prove God. We are the proof that God exists. We're the proof that there is power with God that he hasn't even used as of yet. There's power with God to take care of the matters at hand, no matter what the matters at hand are. But sometimes we forget that and we diminish the power of God when we match it to our power. There's where the problem comes in. God, we can't do this. God said, we who? What are you talking about? We can't do this. I can do this. All I'm asking you to do is go with me. Come on, think a minute. All I'm asking you to do is go with me. I'll do it. You come with me. That's all I want you to do. You ride, I'll drive. That's what God's saying. And a lot of times, you know, we say, well, I can't drive, God. God says, yeah, I didn't want you to anyhow. I'll drive. Because it ain't in us to direct our steps or our ways. We don't know what to do. The things that you and I try to figure out what to do, we mess up. Come on now. I've messed up a lot of stuff here just lately, would you believe it, all right? And I'm just begging God to forgive me and also to straighten the mess out. Why? Because I stepped ahead of God just a little bit. Come on, we're all in the same boat sometimes. Don't sit there and be all purity on me, all right? Every one of us step ahead of God every once in a while, and then we pay the consequences of it. You say, preacher, what's going on? It's nothing major. I'm just trying to get you to understand something. You make misjudgments sometimes. You don't think properly sometimes. You don't wait on the Lord sometimes. And in that, we forget the power of God. And so what we try to do is use our power to figure out how to get God to do what we want Him to do. Am I right or wrong? You say, preacher, why is that? So we look good. Ain't got a thing to do with God. We want us to look good. We want us to be notarized. We want us to be on the spotlight. We want to be at the head of the pack, if you will, please. And God says, well, if you want to be up there, that's fine. He don't mind putting us at the head of the pack. He don't mind putting us in the spotlight. He really don't. And He looks down and He says, now, you have your reward. You got it, didn't you, brother? You have your reward. You wanted to know the variety? You got it. You want everybody to see you? They're looking. You want everybody to think you're the greatest thing since sliced bread? Some of them do. But just be careful. You know what happens just before that fall comes? You know what that arrogance is going to do when it gets outside? You know what's going to happen when that pride finally comes loose? I know you want to sit in the first seat, but you'd be better off to sit in the last seat, and then if somebody says, all right, come on up to the first seat, then you'd be better off. But we like the first seat. I want everybody to watch me and look at me and see me. And you know, a lot of times that's an insecurity problem. You know, a lot of times those that have to be first are so insecure that they do that because they just can't get it together. I know some men that, not literally now, but if their church people don't kiss their boots when they walk in the door, their day is shot. You know what that is? That's insecure. See, preacher, I hate the thought of being a low life. Everything under God's a low life. Everything. Everything under God Almighty is low, 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 low. Amen. Listen, God Almighty said, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. We want to lift ourselves up. We want to hold ourselves up. We want to be the torch on the Statue of Liberty. We want everybody to look at us as if we're the light, as if we're shining somewhere in this dark world here where God Almighty can really use us. Do you understand, my dear family? It is good to be used of God, but it has to be done properly. It has to be done with humility. It has to be done with that contrite spirit, not that proud and arrogant spirit that so many times we get. Some of us are just good at it. We do what we do and we're good at it. And we make sure everybody knows that we're good at it. You know, I'm telling you point blank, I can make the best oatmeal raisin cookies in the state of New York. Now, I want you to know that. And you'll burn the next batch. You know, I'm telling you right now, my maters are big enough. You don't even have to slice them. Just put them on the bread and eat. And the next crop of maters is going to get eaten by the worms. God resisteth the proud, but He giveth grace to the humble. And a lot of times, my dear family, what we'll do is we'll get all messed up in ourselves and we'll find something we can do real good and we'll forget about our inabilities and our dependency and reliance on God Almighty and we'll focus on that one thing that we can do good. And that, it becomes our grave. We live and die right after that one thing we can do right when we could be versatile and do many other things. The power of God. Number one, Moses was looking at the power of God. Look with me, please, now in chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. God's Bible says, and the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. He put his hand into his bosom. When he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. He said, put thy hand in thy bosom again. He put his hand in his bosom again, plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. Secondly, my dear family, when the inabilities of our life pop up, what we better remember is that there is a proof of God. Now, God's proven Himself to Moses right here. You said, preacher, he done did that with the stick. Well, in case you forgot, the enchanters did the same thing with their sticks when it was in front of Pharaoh. Right? Moses threw down his rod, became a serpent. They threw down their rods and became serpents. And Moses serpented up their serpent. Am I right? Say, preacher, what's this 6 and 7 proof then about leprosy and about the proof of God? God can prove himself if he wants to prove himself. But here's the point I'm trying to understand here. Why should God prove himself to the likes of you and I? Where's our faith? Why does God have to supply our every need for us to love him? Why does God have to pay every bill on time in full or we don't trust him no more? Why does God got to raise us up off a sick bed or we don't believe he'll heal us? He don't have to prove who he is. He is. That's all there is we got to know. He is. And those that believe that he is, he's a rewarder of them that believe that he is. What's my reward? You get a fellowship with a thrice holy God. No matter what he does, we get a fellowship with God. Can you imagine when we fellowship with the devil, when we fellowship with the imps of hell, when we fellowship with all the children of the damned, what a life that was. But now we get to fellowship with the thrice holy God of glory who rules everything. What a privilege, what an honor, what a blessing it is. He don't have to prove nothing to me. He is and he's mine and I'm his. He's my beloved and I'm his beloved. He don't have to do nothing. He don't have to get me up in the morning. He don't have to let me live through the day. Come on now. He is my God. I love him. Are you listening to me? Our motivation ought to be out of love, not out of things done. We've got things done. I want things done. God, I want this done and this done and this done and this done. And God says, I'll be glad to do it. Get your heart right. I'd be glad to take care of that. This is what I was meditating on one of them days back yonder. Listen to this. Now this is crazy and backwards and all that kind of stuff, but I think it's true. He's a prayer answering God. Right? Who's the servant? Heavenly Father, I sure would like to have, if it be in your will, I sure would like to have. I'd like for you to go over there and I'd like for you to send somebody over there to talk to so-and-so. I'd like for you, Lord, to reach down and touch my old dad and help him feel better. Lord, I would sure like for you to do this and for sure like for you to do that. And God Almighty dispatches the answer of our prayers to the recipients of our prayers. Who's the servant? Jesus said that he was a servant. He didn't come to be ministered to. He came to minister. He ministers to us all the time. He answers our prayers. He's the one that kept you at work all day long alive. He's the one that got you here tonight safely. He's the one that helped your babies wake up this morning and cry and go crazy. He's the one that helped you with schoolwork, children. He's the one that does all this stuff. And you say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying, wouldn't you think that he had to prove himself again by some great act of balance or something that you would just, Lord, swing out across there. Let me give you a story that I've been bothered with all my Christian life. Gideon, yeah, I want you to do something, okay? I want you to get rid of everybody that ain't going to do right and keep the ones I let you have, okay? He got down to 304. And at 304, he said, now God, I'm paraphrasing, he said, now God, let it be wet everywhere but on the fleece. I'll believe it. Lord, don't get mad now. Now tomorrow, Let the fleece be wet and everything around wet and vice versa. God did that. Right? And so 304 of them went to battle. You know the story? 300 men, Gideon, that's 301. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, that's 304. Went to battle. Right? Won the battle, right? You know why God whittled that 22,000 away, 32,000 or whatever it was, 20-some thousand away? You know why God got rid of them? So that Gideon wouldn't brag about how he whooped that bunch. You know what I did the other day? What you did? I made God make a fleece wet and the ground dry, and I made God make the ground dry and the fleece wet. Excuse me. I went over there to battle the other day. I split my men up into hundreds, and I told them what to do, and they did it over there. I'm telling you right now, you ought to, next time you get in a fight, call me. I'll come help you. I can hear him bragging now. That's what we do. He won that battle with a trumpet and a torch and a pitcher. I didn't hear bullets, scud missiles, nothing. A torch, a pitcher, and a trumpet. So, preacher, how did he do that? He didn't. God did. I've always been bothered about that fleece mess. I have. I'm sorry. I'm not spiritual as some people, I guess. It just bugs me that he would do that. Remember Jacob over yonder? Laid down his head on a rock one night. God came to him in a dream. Showed him that dream. God said, I'm going to do this and this and this and this and this for you, and I'm going to take care of you, and you're going to be fine, and you're going home. Hallelujah. God, I'll tell you what. If you feed me, if you clothe me, if you protect me, if you send me home, God, if you do that, I'll let you be my God. That text has always bothered me. He just told him he'd do that. And now he said, well, if you do all that, you can be my God. How about that? Wouldn't that be good? Who's in charge of that situation? See what I'm saying? A lot of times in our lives, my dear family, what we do is we bring God down to our level where we can then control, we think. That's what religion does. Religion brings God down, looks him eyeball to eyeball, and says, now, do what I tell you or I won't let you be my God. You do what I tell you, God. You act the way I want you to act. You come when I tell you to come. When I snap my fingers, you best come. And God sits on the throne and says, who is he talking to? He's talking to himself because he ain't talking to God Almighty in that tone. God don't listen to that mess. If I regard iniquity in my heart, God don't hear me. And he sure don't hear them heathens bossing him around. The only reason a heathen gets anything done at all is the mercy of a thrice holy God keeping him alive so he don't die and go to hell. That's the only reason a heathen gets anything from God Almighty. He feeds that crowd because he wants them to be saved by the grace of God. Moses, my dear family, has got his inability of going here. He's trying to find God's power, and he can't seem to get it in his mind. He's trying to get God to prove himself. Chapter 3, verse 12, listen to the word of God here. And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. This is the token, Moses, that is going to be when you bring them people out. You're going to bring them right here, and right here is where we're going to serve. Now, that's a big token. That's a pocketful right there, bringing how many hundreds of thousands of people to a mountain to worship God Almighty. Look with me, please, in 4:12 now. 4:12, God's Bible says, now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Number three, my dear family, not only the power of God, not only the proof of God, but number three is the presence of God. Now, I believe this all my heart. I believe if we've got the presence of God, we've got every single thing we need. No matter what it is, we've got every single thing we need to serve our God as He dictates service to us. I cannot take my inabilities to God, or my lack to God, or my inconsistencies unto God. I can't take all that to God. I said, God, I just can't do all this stuff. God says, I'll certainly be with you. God says, I will go with you. Therefore, let's go do that. And when you're going to bring them up here to this mountain. And a lot of times, my love, we forget the presence of God. A lot of times we walk with God and talk with God and all that. But honestly, He's in oblivion to us. Stay with me now. Why? Have you ever been going along focusing on yourself? Have you ever been going along thinking about what I'm going to do, what I'm going to say? Now, you might not remember this, but back years ago, I was preaching down in Ohio on repentance. Repentance, not penance, repentance. All right? And it was a beautiful sunshiny night that night, and everything was fine and dandy. And about a half hour into the message, it got blacker than midnight in a coal mine. And I mean, lightning was a flashing, and a thunder was a racking. And I mean, it was some kind of storm outside. And lightning struck the steeple in that church. It caught the church on fire while I was preaching. And so, the lights never went off, so I just kept on preaching. I said, watch the fire shoot out of the wall sockets about that far. And the fire walked up my lapel mic and stopped right there, thank God. But the lights stayed on, and the PA system fried. You should have smelled that. It was an awful stench. AC stayed on, everything. So I just kept preaching. And a woman come running in the door. She said, do you people know this church is on fire? You need to get out of here. And so we ran out. We got outside, a fireman came, and the whole top of the steeple's on fire is a terrible thing. Well, a day or two later, the Today Show called me. They said, we'd like to do an interview with you. I said, well, that's impossible. I'm in Ohio, you're in New York. They said, no, we're going to send a Cincinnati NBC to you. So on July the 4th, they sent NBC to me in the parking lot of that church. And I had a live interview with Matt Lauer on the Today Show. 5 minutes worth. He said, preacher, what'd you say? I told him Jesus Christ is God. And he can do anything he wants to. That's what I told him. Sure as you're living. He said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying somebody put it in the local newspaper. The local newspaper put it on the whatever the big deal is. And it went worldwide. Preacher preaching on penance. Ask God for a sign. God strikes the church with lightning, catches the place on fire. Oh, man, it was a big-time story. I'm headed back there in June. I go there every year. Paul Harvey called me. He said, I want to talk to you. I said, okay. He said, are you all right? I said, sure. Why would I not be? He said, well, you just got struck by lightning, didn't you? I said, no, the church did, not me. The church. Oh, he said, I heard you did. I said, no, church. I got struck by lightning. I've been 3 or 4 or 5 pieces all fried. He Hollywooded it up and messed it all up and session cells, you know, all that stuff like they always do. But walking out to that TV camera, and I was scared out of my wits. I ain't kidding you. That guy walked along beside me. He said, have you ever been on TV before? I said, no, sir. I said, in fact, I preach against TVs. He said, you best not do that today. You're on a Today Show. I said, well, I do. I preach against them things. They're wicked. He said, shh. Now, I don't hear real good. I have an awful time on the phone. And so they got this thing in my ear and, you know, the wire down here and belt on back here, you know, and I mean, I am pounding that thing in there, buddy, trying to get far enough in there where I could probably hear what he's saying. They are noted for making fun and fools out of those they interview. And I was begging God. I said, Lord God, you're going to have to help me hear him. If Matt Lauer says something, I say something stupid on national television, I'll never live it down, God. You know what God said? Don't worry about it. I'll tell you what to say when it's time to say it. And Matt Lauer said, why not a dove or something else flying through the church? Why a lightning bolt? It did $20,000 worth of damage. I said, because Jesus Christ is God. And I started giving the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ on that television show. You say, "Preacher, what are you saying?" I'm just trying to get you to understand something. There are times in your life, in our life, where we got this idea. This is what I'm going to say. I got this canned performance coming, and I'm going to say this. And if they ask this, I'm going to say this. And if they look a little funny, I'm going to say this. And if they kind of ignore me, I'm going to say this. And we can our performance like a JW. And when we can our performance, one little out of the way, I got to start back over here again. If they say this, I'm going to say this. If they say this, and we mess ourselves up because we got this inability about us. Instead of saying, "God, talk. Lord, I'm the glass. The Word of God's the water. You got the hand. Pour water on somebody that's thirsty, Lord. Lord, I'm not eloquent. I'm slow of speech." God says, "I'll be with thy mouth. I'll be all right. I'm going with you." And the presence of God gave Moses confidence to go back into Egypt, walk right up to Pharaoh. And if you read the story right there, and I'm going to quit here for a minute. You read your story, you find Moses talking, you find Moses answering, you find Moses saying, you find Aaron saying, but you also find Moses saying, are you listening to me? He got over his inability. Why? Because of the presence of God. Our trouble is you and I don't walk with God as much as we say we do. And we get our tail in a ringer because we've got this idea that, well, I'm going to go out here and do this, and you know God ain't around that. There are times when God ain't around the junk we're in. I had a guy tell me one time in Ohio, he said, "I ain't going to any beer joint and witness for Jesus Christ." I said, "You ain't never been to beer joint, have you? I grew up in them slop jars. I know what they're like. You're not going to get your head busted. You go in there and start that stuff. Unless the Holy Ghost is with you." Come on now. Down in Orleans, me and Brother Lucian walked into a bar one day, out knocking doors and talking to people about God. There wasn't nobody in there but a bartender, a girl, and some old man. Lucian said, "What are you doing?" I said, "God told me to go in here. Come on." He said, "I'll guard the door." We had a little girl that had AIDS real bad. I said, "Lucian, you right with God?" He said, "Why you ask? What are we going to do?" I said, "We got to go see Diane. She's got AIDS." He said, "Preacher, how are we going to do that?" I said, "Are you full of God, Lucian?" He said, "I will be the time we get there." He was a praying. We sit down on the couch. She sit down over there. I talked to her about Jesus Christ. She swiveled out of that couch, leaned up against the old couch, cried out to God Almighty. The child died bouncing off the walls. AIDS ate her brains out. She died bouncing off the walls in a loony bin. But before she got nuts, she cried out to Christ for salvation. Why? Because the presence of God overpowers the inability of man. And when you and I decide it is God, it's going to be God, I'm not going without God. There's been times I've gone to the streets and the Holy Ghost said, "Go home." And I turned right around and went back to the house. I walked in the door. She said, "What are you doing home so early?" I said, "God told me to come home. There's something bad going on down there. I don't know nothing about it, and I don't need to be in on it." And the next day I went down there and they'd wiped the guy out right where I was going to be. Drive-by shooting. He'd been fooling with some other guy's girl. They just drove by and mowed him down. I'd go be right on that corner. That's the corner I was headed to. God. What are you saying, Brother Don? I'm bragging on God. I'm bragging on Don Hardman. Don Hardman is nothing. We're animated dirt balls. That's all we are. If it wasn't for the breath of God Almighty, we wouldn't be breathing. Do you realize, gang, if he don't exhale, you and I can't breathe? We have to have God. Without me, you can do nothing, Jesus said. And you and I need to understand, gang, the power of God. And we need to understand the proof of God. And we need to understand the presence of God. Now, what am I learning? That's what we're dealing with. This is written for our learning. This thing about Moses was written for our learning. Well, let's look at something we can learn from this. Go to Matthew 19. Go to Matthew 19. Let's see what we can learn about what I just got done telling you all about. You're going to learn things from this Bible if you just get down and read it. Matthew 19, if you will, please. Look in the Word of God. I want to see what I can learn here. Look with me, please, in the 26th verse. I'm talking tonight mainly about our inabilities to do the work that God's called us to do. But most of the time, those inabilities are in our own heads, not in the work. 26:19 in Matthew says, Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. This is a sister message to my Joshua message the other day. Remember Joshua taking over for Moses? Thousands and thousands of Hebrews there to lead into the promised land, split the land all up. You know the big job Joshua had? God told Moses, they're going to rebel, they're going to turn against me. Joshua heard all of that, yet he stayed right there and stayed with it. The job was huge in Joshua's days. Now I want you to look at here in 26 of Matthew, in the 19th chapter here, I want you to see that it's not the job that's big now. It's our inabilities that we conjure up. It's our lack that we conjure up. It's our I can't do it that we conjure up. And we always make it bigger than we think. You guys in this school here, you got any youngins that's got an attitude problem about they can't do? I can't do math. I can't do English. And you look at them and you say, well, sure you can, and you sure you can, and sure you can, and sure you can. And the little old tiger gets all frustrated because in their minds, they can't do it. Why don't you tell them, God will help you. God will show you. Bow your head and pray and ask God to help you with this. You probably can't do it, but I'm promising you, with God, you can do it. See, we leave God out of so much of our life anymore. We're training people to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and do this job. And if you can't do it, well, what we'll do is we'll just find another job for you to do. But what if God Almighty wants them to do that? I got a great-grandson. I got two or three of them. I got a great-grandson that he's big enough now to mow yard on a riding lawnmower. And so our boy, his granddaddy, lets him mow the yard. Now Gage, he's kind of a free-spirited little rat, and you know, there's stripes, and he misses the corners, you know, and he runs over the bushes, and I mean, you know. But I ask you this: so how's he going to learn any younger if he don't get out and do it, right? Now, you say, preacher, what are you trying to get me to understand? I'm just trying to get you to understand. These things are written for our learning. Did Moses go to Egypt? Did Moses stand before Pharaoh and lay the law down? Did Moses, behind God Almighty, lead the Israel children out of there? Did Moses, the greatest medicine man in the Bible next to God Almighty, did he not, with God's help, keep them folks alive and well all them years? Come on, their shoes never even wore out. How'd God do that? Well, Moses, no, not Moses. God. All Moses did was believe that God, that men, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. John 15:5. I'm done. We're going home. John 15:5. The blessed Savior said these words to you and me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, liveth in me, dwelleth in me, abideth in me, abideth, E-T-H, constantly, day in and day out, to the best of his ability. He walks with me, talks with me every day, and I in him. Ain't you in God a partner? Come on, ain't you in God a team? Talk to me. Ain't you in God a team? Amen. Can you abide in Christ and Christ abide in you? Amen. The great book of Romans, my dear family, the entire theme of Romans is in Christ. The whole book, in Christ. And that's what he's saying here. Jesus is talking. He said this, the same. Who is that? The guy that abideth in him and he in them. The same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Preacher, we're not talking about fruit. We're talking about tasks. And I'm just not able to do them certain things. You may not be, but he is. You may not be able to do it, but He can. You just got to make up your mind, Lord, is this your will? Is this what you want to do? You know what I'm going to do, God? I'm going to put my faith in your will. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go out here and do this job. We're going to go soul winning. We're going to pastor church. We're going to be in evangelism. We're going to run the highways. After we heard about that terrible tragedy yesterday with our great friends with the McFadden family, Mama said to me, she said, you know, after all these years on the road, it's a wonder we haven't been in one of them. And it's a miracle of God. I'm talking about thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of miles a year. Tired and weary, sick and then down, and laid and all that. Listen to me, gang. I woke up many a time in the early years on the wrong side of the road. What'd you do? I parked once I come to. Now I'm old and I, 5 o'clock at night, son, I head in. I ain't traveling no more all night. Forget it. How did we make it through all that? How do we get through all that? How's all that come to pass? With God, it's with man, it's impossible, but not with God. And God says, I want you to bear much fruit. It's, oh man, that means God wants me to go to the street and preach and win people to Jesus. Yeah, but that's second. Well, God wants me to pastor a church and win the heir to Jesus Christ. That's exactly right, but that's second. God wants me to witness to my family and get all my J-Pass and Shems and Hams on the ark. That's exactly right, but that's second. God said, I want you to bear fruit. And we look up at God and say, God, I can't do that, and I can't do that, and I can't do that, and I can't do that. And God says, well, let me show you what I'm talking about. Love, joy, peace. Come on. Come on. So, preacher, what are you saying? I'm trying to get you to understand something. You don't have the inabilities you think you've got. Because if you're saved by the grace of God, guess who's living inside of you? And if you got Him living inside of you, guess what you got working at all times? 9 of them, for crying out loud. You can't get shed of all of them. You can't shed of one of them. You must understand, gang, what God wants you to do is this. Love. Him first. Everybody else next. He wants you to have some peace. You never have peace fighting God because you think you're unable to do. This dear family can't function in India. Nobody can function in India. But they don't have to. All they got to do is follow their God. God functions in India, and they follow Him. That's how that works. Brother Fenton can't pastor this great church. God pastors this church. He follows God. Same with you. You can't raise a wife and kids to love God and do right. God's, I'm telling you, you can't do it. But God does. God's the father of the house. We just follow God. Us men folk just follow God. Girls, you can't take care of them babies for us men folk. Clean the house, cook the food, wash the clothes. You can't do that kind of stuff, but God can. And so what we do is we get up in the morning and say, God, what are we doing today? God said, we're going to Tops. That sounds like a plan. Lord, my faith is in your will. Whatever your will is, that's what I want. God says, that's what I want you to understand. It ain't your ability, son, that we're working in. It's my ability. Heads about, eyes are closed. Now, God Almighty don't preach messages just to hear you say if talk. But there's somebody in this room tonight that is struggling. Come on, baby. There's somebody in this room tonight that is struggling with this. And God wants to help you. My, so God bless you, family. God wants to help you understand. Quit relying on your ability. Quit using the inability as an excuse. And just walk with God.